Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL Podcast, Friday edition. Joe DiBiase, joined as always by Tom Gazzola. Tom, how are you doing on this beautiful Friday?
It is a beautiful Friday, and I'm happy, and I can't wait for spring to be around the corner. I'm already thinking about golf, but still lots of hockey left. And Joe, I could go on and on and on. It's a positive Friday all around.
I'm getting so ready for golf. I'm going to the Golf Dome here in Buffalo like a couple times a week now. The weather is starting to turn. It was like 55 and sunny. 55 and sunny, by the way. Like, yep. We might have listeners anywhere, Dallas, Florida, that'll be like 55 and sunny. What are they talking about? Like, when you get 55 and sunny after a month of snow and 10 degrees, yeah. I'm like, you're out there in shorts and a t-shirt.
It's, hey, and to give it some context, it's like high 30s here right now, although it has been warming up and the snow has been melting. But I actually went to my regular Thursday golf course where I play every Thursday. Just for dinner the other night, and it felt like home. It was amazing, Joe. I have to admit, I can't wait to get going out and start swinging the sticks. And I'm kind of jealous that you're going to the Golf Dome. I know people go to simulators, especially here in Edmonton, where you get winter for a good 4 months of the year. I just can't push myself to do it. I can't.
Yeah. I have fun with it, but I already am starting to get, like, with the simulators. The dome itself, at least here, it's basically like a driving range, so that's different. But you're right. Like, the simulator, it, like, it's already starting to frustrate me when I feel like I hit a perfect drive down the middle, and it takes it, like, way left, and it's only 180 yards. Like, it's like, okay, come on. Like, I almost get more mad at the machine than happy with the shot I just pulled off. I get that.
I have one thing to say about golf domes, and you'll go, how Canadian is that after I tell the story? We have, or we had one here in Edmonton for the longest time. It deflated like 10 or 15 years ago, and then the owners just decided to sell the golf dome after they repaired it, and whoever bought it turned it into like a multiplex for ball hockey and street hockey.
Okay.
And roller hockey. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It has like six rinks in it instead of a golf dome anymore with a mini putt.
You are right. I mean, the only thing that could have made that more Canadian is if they drowned the dome in maple syrup after the fact.
Oh, boy.
that would have been the only thing that could have done that. I love a good hockey dome, though. I mean, we've got complexes here that I miss sorely. Like, that's one thing that I miss more than anything with COVID is just like playing. And some people are still doing it. It depends, I guess, where you are and, you know, the group of guys that you're with and like their own situations. Like, I have a couple of buddies on the team I play on Mondays with normally. And it's like, you know, the goalie's got, his mom's got a condition. He can't really take the risk. And another guy's wife is pregnant. And it's like, you know, it depends, I guess, on the group of players. But so like my team, for instance, is not playing. That is the one thing I miss more than anything.
Yeah.
It's just hockey with the boys once a week.
Oh, man. And the best beer is the first one you crack when you get off the ice after the game. And
yes.
I really miss that as well. We have a regular Friday pickup game with a really good group of guys here in Edmonton. And then I play with my old junior team. We have a men's league team and unfortunately we're still in like one of the highest divisions in Edmonton. And we have 40-year-old guys that want to play like they're playing in front of 1,000 people still. And there's fight nights and it's ridiculous. Guys backtrack and block shots. It's crap. I can't deal with it. I just want to do loop de loops. No stops and starts. And then if I get the puck, I want to score a nice goal or make a nice play. I don't want to be working my butt off. I want to burn some calories, Joe. And then I want to see the boys and I want to crack a brew or two and then go home and have the best sleep of my life. Like, I miss that so much. And it feels like there's light at the end of the tunnel here. I know the vaccine's rolling out quite well in the US now. In Canada, not so much. We're kind of like the forgotten cousin. I know it. And it sucks, but in time, I think that we're going to be talking about hockey and days at the rink and all that good stuff. People going to see NHL games. Finally, it'll be night and day compared to where we're at right now. I know it in my heart.
Yeah, and I will make the argument that the the parking lot after a hockey game beer is like, that's the best beer.
Yes.
Like that, that, that rivals like the golf beer, the tailgating beer, like the parking lot after a hockey game. Like that's tough to beat, especially when it's like middle of the summer, the weather's nice. You can't beat it.
And you always have one or two guys on your team who likes to hack darts while they're having a beer.
Oh,
so they
yeah.
can, they can hack darts in the tailgate in in the rink. And you look at them, you go, why are you still smoking? That's terrible for you. It's a filthy habit, but they'll hack those darts.
Yeah. We'll get to a bunch of stuff on today's episode, including in Montreal, Claude Julien fired despite a decent record, an okay record at least, at 9-5-4. The Calgary Flames are incredibly interesting right now. They could be teetering. They might be on the verge of blowing it all up. We've been saying that for a year, but I still feel like they are on the fence. And then we've got two teams that I pronounced dead probably more than a year ago, for the long term, that are having resurgences this season that I think we have to bring up as well in LA and Chicago. So we'll get to that and some stuff that's going on in Buffalo that I don't necessarily want to talk about, but I feel like we should talk about it because I know if it was happening on another team that we would be talking about it here on this podcast. So we'll get to Jeff Skinner versus Ralph Kruger and the saga that's going on in Buffalo. First, real quick, though, because you just kind of mentioned it, like soon we'll all be going to NHL games, hopefully. And that's starting to happen slowly. And you're right, it is dependent on like vaccines and the readiness of testing. So like here, for instance, in Buffalo, like we at least do have access to test, but it's not easy. You've got to drive to Syracuse, which is about a 3-hour drive to be able to get them. So like you can get it, but you've got to really commit to it. And that's happening. The rates are going down, and now the all of New York State is allowing 10% capacity at arenas. So the Rangers actually tonight, Friday night, they'll be having their they're having their first game at Madison Square Garden with 10% capacity. The Islanders will be starting in mid-March, and the Sabres announced yesterday on Thursday that they're going to start on March 20th. So I think that's going to end up bringing us to like six teams, maybe total, that will have limited fans. Do you still feel like, though, I'm by what you said a couple minutes ago, I think I might already know your answer, but do you feel like that's a lot farther off for these Canadian markets, limited fans in the building?
Not even going to happen this year. Not a hope in hell. It's our regulations and restrictions are tight. Alberta is probably the loosest of all the provinces, and even here it's still pretty tight. They just reopened in restaurant dining and all of that. Hockey can kiss this season bye-bye in terms of fans in Canada. It won't happen until there's, what is it, herd immunity, where it's like 70% of the population's vaccinated. And we're at 3% vaccination in the entire country of 35 million people. Maybe by September, they'll be able to open up for next season. Because, Joe, I'm 35 years old. I have no underlying conditions. My best guess, and what I'm hearing from the government here in Canada, when I'm going to be vaccinated is probably not till August or September. And that's that's how slow the rollout here is. It's pissing a lot of people off. So maybe by next season, but not a chance in hell this season for Canada.
Okay. Glad we got that in there just to kind of get an update on where everything is. Again, it completely depends on local authorities and like what your state is doing, what your province is doing, and what really like the national plan is as well. So we'll see what becomes of that. Let's stick in Canada for a minute here and let's get to the Calgary Flames, who are kind of at a tailspin. And you're hearing the same things about Calgary that we probably were sitting here 12 months ago talking about the same things. Like, hey, if they continue to on this downward spiral and they either one don't make the playoffs or they bounce right away in the playoffs, even, are they ready to trade a big part of their core off of their team to kind of shake things up? I think the first player we always point to for that is Johnny Gaudreau. Contract and age plays into that and how good the player is in value. He's 27. He's got one more year on his deal after this season. He's very productive and he's got a favorable cap hit of under $7 million for anybody acquiring him. So Gaudreau is probably the most obvious name to talk about here, but there's nothing to me different than a year ago that I think this is the team that's like ready to make a monster move like that.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do it in the offseason, and they started this year okay. Their team on paper, Joe, is good. It really is. You point to Gaudreau. He's very productive. He's a star in this league. So is Sean Monahan. Elias Lindholm, since coming over from Carolina, has been excellent. They have some tremendous bottom six pieces. They have Milan Lucic, who's somewhat found his game again after getting traded from Edmonton. They have good defensemen. And now they have Jacob Markstrom, who's dinged up and not playing right now. But on paper, this should be a good team. They made it to the playoffs last year. They got past Winnipeg. They were looking good against Dallas, and then they blew it. So much so that they ordered golf clubs, like sets of clubs with bags in the bubble, and they arrived the day after they were eliminated by the Stars. That's how confident or hopeful the Flames were. It's funny, the little stories you hear from inside the arena from people in the bubble around town. And clearly, something's not working. The mix is not right. Mark Giordano is a diminishing asset, pardon me. And I think that if we were on the cusp of a blow-up of this roster last year, we have to be teetering on the edge at this point, because Jeff Ward came out last week. He basically said he doesn't know what it is. It's within them. They need to figure it out. And that's when you can't figure out what the problem is. It just tells you the mix isn't right. Brad Treliving had to come out and have a state of emergency on the host broadcaster's radio show prior to the game with my good buddy Pat Steinberg, and basically assess everything, try to calm the waters for the fan base. And then they went out and lost that game. It's just not working, and it's slipping away. And the messed up thing about this season is they're a 5-game stretch away from being like, oh, there's no problems. We're right back in the mix. But they could go in the opposite direction of that and continue down this path that they're on right now. And they could find themselves in such a deep hole where they're hitting the panic button and it's already 2 weeks too late. Like, it's such a messed up scenario given our season and all that's going on with COVID and all of that. But we're getting so close to the breaking point here, and they're going to have to make a decision. And you know where else you're hearing a lot of that too is Vancouver. But they've got a GM and a coach on expiring contracts in Vancouver where – essentially, they could just wait out the rest of the season. But the Calgary Flames, it's turning into a hot mess unless they find a way to turn this thing around in the next 5 games or so.
Yeah. Vancouver is right to point out, too, that they could be ready to do something similar as well, or at least it would make sense for them to do it. They would probably be less likely because given like the management and such. But yeah, I think they're right to mention there as well. That division is so interesting. Montreal fires their coach this week too. Yeah. Like, that's a big shakeup. It's not quite a Johnny Gaudreau trade like Calgary might be primed to do at some point in the coming months. But you fire your coach, by the way, here in Buffalo, we're like, it's like, well, not necessarily specific to Kruger, but this has been a team that kind of has the reputation for not pulling the trigger, being afraid to pull the trigger mid-season on letting a coach go to save the season. And here's Montreal. Montreal is got a winning record, at least by NHL standards, at 9-5-4. And because of a 6-game stretch where they have not looked good, I mean, at least not probably all solely because, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. They were willing to move on from Claude Julien mid-season for Dom Ducharme. Yep. So I know you saw this coming even before the season as a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I joke to you, blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. And on our station, TSN 1260, I, on opening night, said, I was asked who's the first coach to get fired. And I said, Claude Julien. And it's solely because there's so much pressure in Montreal. It is on a different wavelength than anywhere else in the NHL. Montreal is so hockey crazy. Toronto might be the closest, but Mark Bergevin's under the gun. And as soon as he started to see some things in his team that he didn't like, and old habits and stuff like that, and things not being fixed from last season where they had a bad year, but they ended up in the play-in and they got by Pittsburgh. He pulled the trigger and he tried to salvage the season. And now it's Dominic Ducharme, who's a first time NHL head coach, trying to resuscitate this season. This roster, though, Joe, still has some of the youngest centermen in the league. I've seen young centermen trying to take on too much and swing above their weight class and punch above their weight. It doesn't work. And that's putting a ton on them. And the Habs haven't gotten the goaltending from Carey Price to the point where you're looking at them and going, geez, this might be a disaster scenario too. And when we were talking maybe even a week or two ago, we were looking at six teams fighting for four spots in the North Division when it comes to the postseason. Now you might have three locks and maybe two other teams fighting for that last spot. That's how it's starting to fall here. And it's bizarre. I never would have expected this.
Yeah. Price, by the way, that has been, that's been their detriment. That's been their downfall a lot of times this season. 12 games in, he's at an .888 save percentage. And Jake Allen, their backup, is at a .932. I mean, you couldn't have a more stark difference, starter to backup. Now, the interesting thing on Price right now is actually that his high danger save percentage is like through the roof. And his low danger save percentage is like at the bottom of the league. So essentially what that tells me is that he's stopping all, and obviously that's what the numbers, that those stats say,
right.
Literally, is that he's stopping all of the hard ones and he's letting soft ones in. And to me, that seems like something that could be correctable. But this is a couple of years in a row now where Price has not been to a Vezina caliber of play like he was a few years back. So I don't know, maybe more of a 50-50 split is warranted, at least until that happens, if it does in the first place. But you're right, like it's not just about the goaltending, because they are talented, no doubt, but it is a very young center group. Yeah. I still think that they'll be a playoff team, and I would even maybe, you know, right now, not right now, because if they were playing Toronto, I'd pick Toronto. But if they got matched up with Winnipeg or Edmonton, I feel like I could talk myself into picking Montreal in the series.
Joe, when the playoffs come around and we're talking about the North Division, it's going to be absolutely bonkers because anything could happen. Seriously, these teams should be more evenly matched. There is separation, but anything could happen. That's how crazy this division is going to be come playoff time.
Yep. And we will get to a couple of other divisions. I got a team in the Central and we got a team in the West that I want to throw a little comparison on when we come back. And then also we'll get to the Sabres and the Jeff Skinner situation that's going on with them right now. That's next here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. Football may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports actions. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Little embarrassed to say it, I am watching this season of The Bachelor. Lines on a show like that, I'm actually intrigued by for the first time in my life. And BetOnline is where you want to be looking for that. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED On. Built Bar is back and improved with all new packaging and the bars. I didn't think they could taste any more like a candy bar, but our friends at Built Bar somehow figured out a way to add to their 12 permanent flavors: coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange toffee almond, coconut, and my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie. Are now six new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. In addition to tasting amazing, they are great for the healthy conscious guy or gal. Under 200 calories, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Do not eat one more protein bar until you try Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter, Tom Gazzola at Tom Gazzola on Twitter. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, is the relationship broken between Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. All right, I'll toss it really to you here for the majority. I'll get into it, no doubt. In fact, I probably won't be able to hold back, but I've been talking a lot about this, maybe solely about this, on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Honestly, it's like the first interesting thing to happen to them all season. Professionally, I kind of like that this has happened, where Ralph Krueger, Sabres head coach, has benched Jeff Skinner to the point where he's been a healthy scratch three games in a row. This is not new. Really, going back to last season, Skinner has seen a decrease in minutes, and he has not played on the top line with Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart. This year, it went even further to where he was playing on the fourth line. Sabres fans are upset. I think part of the reason they're upset is that they're not really getting answers as to why this is happening. They know Skinner has zero goals, but I don't know. What would you tell a Sabres fan that's upset, not only that Skinner's being benched, but that he didn't really have an opportunity to produce before that, given that he had been buried on the fourth line?
Well, I know this is becoming a Jeff Skinner versus Ralph Krueger thing, and I know his agent, Donnie Meehan, had to step in and talk to Kevin Adams, and it's just created all this drama. Having known Ralph personally, I don't know him to be, nor did I ever witness in the 3.5 years I was around him, him holding grudges or any vendettas. Like, if you are in Ralph Krueger's doghouse, which he even said, I don't even know what that is. He knows what it is, but he is not the type of person that will banish you to some other corner of his universe. He's not that person. He doesn't have a bad bone in his body, but he does professionally have expectation. And if you're not meeting whatever standards that are expected of you, then you're not going to play. That's what I'm seeing. And if Jeff Skinner, who I know makes a ton of money, has a monster contract, had a good year when he got to Buffalo, was the Calder Trophy winner years ago, he's capable of being better than he is. But there has to be something there with the player, his buy-in to the team, the commitment to excellence, whatever, the commitment to even just being respectable at the NHL level. Something's got to be there. And I don't know if there's friction in the room because of something that's happened. That's something I tried to read between the lines and I can't figure out. And you probably have a better sense of that, Joe. But knowing Ralph, it's probably just totally performance related. And maybe it's gotten worse because the player's unhappy, the agent's involved. And now all of a sudden, it's snowballing into this huge scenario where this guy who's giving you nothing on the ice because he isn't playing, and when he is playing, he does nothing, is creating more bad mojo around the team, and this dark cloud hovers over it. And now it's turned into this nasty scenario, and we know how much Sabres fans care about their team, that it's going to blow up, and there's some damn good reporters in that city that aren't going to let it go unnoticed, and they don't. So now you have this nasty situation, and Ralph, unfortunately, because it's part of his job, he's caught in the crosshairs. He's got to give answers. There's probably stuff he doesn't even want to say about this scenario that he knows. Go ahead. I just want to say, knowing him, he doesn't hold grudges. There has to be a real, like, concrete reason that this is going on.
Yeah, I still continue to wonder if something did happen off the ice, and it is just a part of his makeup that he's just no way in hell going to let that be known, you know, if that did happen.
Yeah.
Because even though, like, you can look at the numbers and very easily see the zero goal mark for Jeff Skinner and say, well, he's been awful this season. And watching him and looking at some of, like, his high danger scoring chance numbers, like, he's been hitting a ton of posts. He's been creating chances. He's just been snake bitten. And he has had two guys on his line and Riley Sheehan and Curtis Lazar, who are not finishers. So even good when dudes, he's creating though. For others, they
really
are great
good
dudes.
Dudes. Yeah, both
and,
of them.
And for what you know what, and for like for what they are, they're good players. Like I've liked both of their games this season. They've really yeah. helped the Sabres penalty kill. They have been really maybe their best two faceoff men, even though they're on the same line.
But Jeff Skinner should not be playing with Riley Sheehan and Curtis Lazar. Those are checkers, right. and that's and, not Jeff Skinner's game.
I feel like that's a part of this. I feel like people feel like Skinner has not been given a fair shake to be able to produce. Now, that I think, though, even that being said, the when he gets to a point where he's being healthy scratched and we're not really getting a clear answer as to why that is, because there's kind of a back and forth there. Kruger is telling everybody, well, it's good for a player to kind of sit back and watch and learn some things. And you'll hear that from coaches all the time. That's not a new phenomenon. But then you've got Skinner saying, like the same day, like 30 minutes later, like I've played 700 games. I've played 10 years in the league. Like, I'm not really getting a benefit of watching these games. I feel like I want to be working through my slump out on the ice. And there's an interesting dynamic going on right now between Kruger and Skinner. And I still am left wondering whether the real reason he's not on the ice has not yet been known, has not been made known.
That's possible.
It's possible because, again, like, I think I don't know that we have a good indication of what Ralph Kruger would act like if something did happen off the ice. Like if Skinner did something like behavior wise, or he got into it with the coach, or maybe he just went off on him, like because he was upset he wasn't playing on the top line. I don't know. Like I think if that happened, I bet we would never find out about it.
Even if he went off on Kruger or another coach, Ralph is the type of person that would find a way to heal the divide, if you will.
Yes.
He is that type of person. So something's completely off kilter here. And it'll come out at some point. Maybe somebody went to Kevin Adams and was like, you need to get this guy out of here. And they can't because that contract is such an albatross.
Right.
It'll come to light at some point, but it's not good. It is just not good at all. It is a black cloud hanging over the Sabres.
Yeah. All right, let's get to one other topic before we head out for the show. We've got one team in the West and one team in the Central that for over a year now, I personally have declared dead, and many alike have done the same, that are both on, I mean, they are lighting people up right now. You've got the Kings on a 6-game win streak, and you have the Blackhawks winning 8 of their last 10. Both are in third place in their respective divisions. Again, two teams that had Stanley Cup runs in the last decade that I think we all thought like the run is over. And maybe it still is. But between these two teams, which team's run do you think is more real? Which team could you see sustaining what they've done for a longer period of time?
Oh, my goodness. I look at the West and I still think that the Kings will be in tough. And I'm liking what they're doing. I expected more from Arizona. Obviously, Colorado's got games to make up. So the Kings will probably be duking it out with who? The Coyotes and the Wild for one of those spots.
Yep.
And it'll come in time. It'll come in time. Let the Avalanche play enough games to catch up and move ahead of those teams. The Chicago Blackhawks are the one that are totally surprising me. Like, who would have thought Kevin Lankinen would be backstopping them to third place in the Central Division going into the weekend? Not me. I looked at Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia, and I'm like, this is troubles, Bubbles. Plus, all their young guys were getting hurt, and they're just ripping through the Central Division. I know the Central Division is a weak division, but I thought they were a weak division, or it was a weak division because of teams like the Blackhawks. And it's the Hawks that are taking advantage of the rest of the weak teams in the division. Now, it's been ravaged by COVID. The Dallas Stars might be in big-time trouble because they have to play like 40 games in the last 80 days of the season, which is absurd, and that might be their downfall. Columbus can't seem to figure things out. And then you've got Chicago taking full advantage, and you've got a strong Florida team. Tampa's doing Tampa things. Carolina's going to be right there, obviously, too. Columbus is faltering. Dallas is faltering. Nashville, kiss them bye-bye. They need to rebuild. And Chicago is the team that's at most taking advantage of the Central Division being so weak when they were supposed to be part of the weakness. It's unbelievable to me. I'm in awe. I truly am.
Yeah. I think LA to me is more sustainable. I'm in awe of Chicago's run as well. Maybe part of it is that the goalie is Kevin Lankinen, and like, what can he continue this over the course of an entire season? I'm left wondering that. Whereas LA, it's not even really Jonathan Quick for me, for them in net. Cal Peterson has been a rising prospect over the last couple of years. He's finally getting a real crack at a starter's job, and he's doing a really good job at it. Like, he was someone with some pedigree coming into that situation. Whereas Lankinen, I'm not even sure I heard of him before 2 weeks ago. and it's the center group as well. Like, you know, like just having Kopitar even just being there. Like, just to have that stability. If Taze were in the lineup while they were doing this, I might think it was more sustainable. You know, if it something that simple, just Jonathan Taze being a part of it, I think I would believe in it more.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. I think LA is more sustainable. There may come a time a month from now where we're like, oh, boy, the Hawks really had a nice little February, didn't they?
Yes.
So much for that.
Yeah, and part of it, too, is I think that there are three teams right behind them that I think are all stronger in Carolina, Columbus, and Dallas.
Yes.
So there's that. I will say this real quick on the Kings, though. They are getting the benefit of an insane streak by Dustin Brown right now. He is shooting like at a 30% shot percentage. He's scoring on every third of his shots, basically.
Is like, that making up for like the last 4 years when he couldn't score a goal?
Yes, it absolutely is. Like that. Speaking like we thought the Kings were dead. I can't even believe Dustin Brown is still playing in a top six somewhere in the NHL. But he's been awesome so far this year. Again, that will probably be part of what happens when they come back down to earth. He's just not going to score at a rate of 11 goals every 18 games and scoring on every third shot. And that's where they're getting a lot of offense from right now is the line that he is on. So even though I would pick the Kings, I do believe they'll fall back as well. All right. Thanks everybody for listening to today's show. Again, follow us on Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports, and Tom is at Tom Gazzola. And we will talk to you next Friday here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola.